Hey everybody, it's Rick. I want to say welcome back. This is the Nomad Pastor Podcast. Hopefully you've had a good week, and hopefully we can continue learning together. So we're going to jump right in. Today, we're going to continue with Philippians 1, and we're going to cover verses 21 through 26. And what today's message is really going to be about is we want to talk about desire and duty, you know, the difference between desire and duty, and really think about how we live our lives, right? And we can live our lives on many different levels. And while some people will live on the level of maybe pleasure or selfishness, others are going to live on the level of love. And we're often in a dilemma about what we should do with our life. And when we reduce it to its simplest terms, it's really just a dilemma between desire and duty. And when I say duty, maybe that's an obligation, right? So my question to you would be, what do you desire? I know it seems like a simple question, but it might not be a simple answer. Because just as human beings, our immediate reaction is probably to just tell you what we desire right now. And look, right now I desire a bacon cheeseburger or maybe a Butterfinger Blizzard from Dairy Queen. But the question I'm asking is, what's in your heart desire? And so to understand this, we really need to acknowledge that there are different types of desires. There's righteous desire, right? There's the desire for God, the desire for living right, you know, the desire for wisdom, the desire for spiritual gifts. There's also sinful desire, like, you know, sexual immorality. But there's also God's desires. We can't overlook those. You know, God desires true worship from people. God also desires right living. You know, God has desires for his people, right? He wants his people to come home someday. So if we talk about desires and we talk about what's your desire, we also have to talk about duty. You know, what's your duty? What's your obligation? And this one, I know it's a little bit harder, so I really want you to just kind of sit on that question, and then I'm going to ask it again later after we've talked about some stuff. And so first, I'm going to read Philippians chapter 1, 21 through 26, and then we'll come back and unpack it a little bit. So we'll start with verse 21. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet, what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far, but it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain, and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your boasting in Christ Jesus will abound on account of me. So remember, at the beginning of this chapter, Paul's in prison, right? He'd been in prison. He's in chains. He has told the Philippians that he prayed for them with joy, that he thanks God every time he thinks of them. And then right after that, we see while he's in jail, he's able to turn some pretty bad things into good things. That his time in jail, his imprisonment, was resulting in the spreading of the gospel through the whole Roman guard. Now, he's explaining that his goal was that Christ be magnified in him, regardless of what happens, either in his life or his death. You know, the statement by Paul, "For me to live is Christ," shows us that the source of Paul's continual joy is found in Christ. That secret, right? The secret that makes him happy, even when he's in prison, is found in Christ. But there is more to the verse, right? He doesn't stop there. He says to die is gain. So he has this dilemma in his life. Do I live for my duty, or do I do what I desire? You see, Paul faces a dilemma that it often becomes one of our greatest dilemmas as well. You know, I know even recently I've asked myself this question, but I want you to ask yourself the same thing, and that's, what do I live my life for? I ask myself that all the time. Like, what am I supposed to be doing? I ask God all the time, what am I here for, God? I want you to really think about that, because if you don't live for Christ, what are you living for? You see, I used to live my life for everything but Christ. I love to drink. I love to party. I mean, I wanted to live it up every weekend. I never wanted to worry about what's next. And then I cared so much about my career. I cared so much about my professional life that I would almost just cut anyone's throat to get to the next level. And I don't mean literally. I've actually had people tell me that I left a pile of dead bodies behind me as I tried to climb the corporate ladder. And when I look back on that time in my life, they were right. And I'm disgusted by who I was when I did that. But then I think about Paul. You know, Paul hunted down Christians. He persecuted them. He wasn't a good guy for a large part of his life. But now he's sold out for the gospel, and he's sold out to grow the kingdom. His duty is to live for Christ, and he desires nothing more than to be with Christ, but it wasn't time yet. See, when Paul was in prison, he wasn't thinking about ending his own life. He wasn't trying to escape his troubles. He wasn't trying to escape his imprisonment. He wasn't trying to escape at all. He had opportunities. Lots of us might have had the same thoughts if we were in the same situation. But it's important for us to understand that Paul wasn't preoccupied with death by any stretch of the imagination. In this instance, he's simply making a statement of trust and faith. He's simply saying for him to live meant promoting the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the longer he's alive, the more he can preach the word. But death would also be good for him. He would gain. Not only would he be a martyr for the gospel, which is going to grow the kingdom, right? Because he died in chains for Christ. He would immediately be in the presence of his Lord. He would immediately be with Jesus. So seriously, think about what he's saying. In verse 21, when he says, "For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain." Christ was the source of Paul's continued faith, even in prison, especially in prison. Everything about Paul's life found meaning because of Jesus. In this simple verse, Paul is making a bold statement that his ultimate concern and most prized possession now and forever is the relationship he has with Christ. Can you say that? I mean, think about that. His most prized possession forever is his relationship with Christ. And then we get to verse 23 and 24, where Paul is explaining the reason he has this dilemma, right? The reason he's torn between the two. He would welcome death, but he's not thinking about himself. He's worried about the Philippians. When he says in verse 23, "I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far, but it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body." So even though Paul desires to be with Christ, he's faced with a duty. He's faced with an obligation not to think just about himself, but to live for others. You see, like Paul, at some point in our life, we're going to have to ask ourselves if we're going to live for ourselves, or are we going to live for other people? So when you have to ask yourself that question, what's your answer going to be? And I want you to be honest with yourself. All of us face this question in one way on our own. Just like a teacher has to decide if they're just going to fill a position sitting behind a desk. Or are they really going to leave their students with skills for life? And as parents, we have to decide, are we going to simply provide the necessities for our children, or are we nurturing our children in an atmosphere of love and security? You know, I'm not here to tell anybody how to parent. I'm just here to say, nurture and love your children. Show them you love them. Show them you care about them. Show them that security that they need. But that love and nurturing, that love and security, that atmosphere you want to raise them in, doesn't mean you tell them yes to everything they want. You know, at the end of this, if we belong to God, we can't lose. Period. Whether we live or die, we know we're going to win in the end with Christ. But while we live, we need to persevere in our faith. We need to grow in our faith so that we can make the spiritual gains we need. Paul's primary motivation for persevering was his concern for others who still needed to hear the good news. His concern for other people who needed to hear about God's love is what gave him motivation. You know, one day we're all going to face death. But if we persevere in our faith, while we're here, we can be useful to God. We can be useful until the day he comes back. There's always a reason to live. God still wants to use us and save the lives of others. There's a lot of people who need to hear the good news. And sometimes the only good news they're going to hear is how you act and how you treat people, how you live with joy. And they may ask, why are you so happy? And that's the opening you need. You know, Paul resolved his dilemma between duty and desire by doing what was best for people. He would continue the call to duty because he cared and wanted people to know the good news. Because he cared and loved people like Jesus told him to. So like Paul, we must see our duty in relation to others. We must see our duty in relation to God. What is our obligation as Christ followers? God's command to us is that we serve him with love and devotion. And that duty has to take precedence over your desire. Once you know the truth, you have an obligation. You have an obligation to show love. You have an obligation to show everybody God's love. My prayer for us today, for this week, is that we can look past the things in the society today. We can look past the hate of social media, and we could just show people the love that God commands us and that we are obligated to show. Look, I appreciate you listening. You know, if you like it, subscribe. You can do that on any of your different podcast options. We're on most of them. And if you got a question, send me an email. It's hello@nomadpastor.org. Again, I appreciate the time and I appreciate you listening this week. Thanks.